Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a new comics episode for new comics coming out Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. So I'm going to talk about six different books, and then I'll rattle off a few more that I think you might be interested in. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter New Comics Wednesday episode, not because there aren't a lot of great books out there, but just because time is a little short for me. You know, we here at the Comic Source, pretty much a one-man show, and putting out seven episodes a week most weeks these days. As you can imagine, things get a little hectic. It's like trying to do the interview with this person and that person, but all the books I need to read before I talk to these people, plus the day job and everything. So apologize. This one's going to be a little shorter than usual. But a lot of good information, a lot of good books actually coming out this week. So let me dive right in. First book I'm going to talk about is Cold War number 2 from writer Christopher Sabella and artist Hayden Sherman. You know, we had Christopher on not too long ago. If you want to know more about Cold War, I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. But in a nutshell, what's happened is people have had their heads chopped off and cryogenically frozen for a long period of time. You know, we have this happening in our world nowadays, right? Like people, they're dying of old age or they're dying of a particular disease or illness, and what they're hoping is that they can preserve their brain, their head, that in the future they can regrow a body for them and reattach the head, and they can go on living and they can cheat death. And if they're suffering from any kind of malady, they'll have the cure for it in the future. So that's kind of the premise behind Cold War, except that when the people get awakened, it's not in some, you know, perfect future. It's not a utopia. Instead, they are awakened and told that they're going to be foot soldiers in a war that's going on. And as you can imagine, a lot of these people don't have training, they're not soldiers, so it's a pretty jarring experience and a really, really cool premise. So not to spoil anything, but the first issue had a huge twist at the end of the first issue, and so just when you think you kind of know what the story's about, Christopher Sabella throws us for a huge loop. And the second issue actually focuses on a different character in the group that we met last issue, a woman who in the first issue seemed to be a little more passive. And in the second issue, we find out that she's actually much more than meets the eye. I'll put it that way. And she's very ruthless, and she tells her backstory, and it's very interesting. And her motivation for what in her mind is actually like time travel, like having her body frozen and waking up years and years and years in the future, she has a very interesting reason for doing it. And it's fascinating. And the backdrop of this is this, you know, dystopian future where everybody's kind of out for themselves, and it's not even clear what side is what and who's fighting for who. And, you know, these people, not just the group we met, but all these other people that have been awakened from cryogenic stasis and put to work as soldiers. It makes for a very interesting, scary, and dynamic setting where basically anything can happen at any time. And so I'm very curious to see where the story goes from here. I'm definitely in for the ride. The art by Hayden Sherman, it's a little messy, but it suits the story. You can definitely see some John Romita Jr. Influences. And the colors, there's a lot of diachromatic and trichromatic panels. So it very much suits the story. And when there is, you know, bright colors, reds or oranges thrown in there, they really stand out against the panel, because the future is not a place you want to be when it's the future that we're seeing here. So again, it's been a really interesting second issue and an interesting story so far. You know, it's from Aftershock, so you know it's good. Definitely recommend it. All right, the next book I'm going to talk about is Action Comics number 999. We're only one issue away from the historic 1,000th issue. So the creative team for this book, we have Dan Jurgens handling the writing duties. We've got Will Conrad handling the art. And we have Yvonne Nunez on colors. So last issue, we saw Lois Lane risk life and limb to go rescue her father from the country where he was being held hostage. And we also saw that John, unbeknownst to Lois, you know, her and Clark's son, actually followed along. And so it actually turned out for the best. They did need that help. So in 999, it's What Would Superman Do? And it's all about the fury of General Lane. So it's definitely more of a character piece. General Lane comes to dinner and we get kind of the view and the reason there's friction between Lois and her father. Meanwhile, all John wants is for his grandfather to be around. Meanwhile, part of the problem that General Lane has and the difference of opinion he has with Lois is just their different views on Superman. Because, of course, Lois's father doesn't know that Clark Kent is Superman. And in fact, when he shows up there, another reason, I should say, why General Lane isn't happy is that Clark's not even there. He's actually, unbeknownst to General Lane, off doing Superman things, deflecting an asteroid that's going to destroy Earth. So again, it's very much a character piece, and it's Juergens really breathing life into these characters. And in the end, we see in stark contrast the differences between Clark and Lois and their point of view, which seems to be much aligned, as opposed to her father's point of view, which is, I wouldn't say more aggressive, but just a different perspective. You know, he's of a different time. But in the end, they manage to reconcile and have a nice dinner together. So it's a nice slowdown. It's a nice character focused book in anticipation of the huge Action Comics number 1000. So I wouldn't say that it's a fill-in issue. It doesn't have that feel. But I did find it interesting to go from all the action that we saw in the booster shot storyline to this more kind of a quieter issue leading up to Action Comics 1000. So very curious to see just what Action Comics 1000 is going to be all about. All right, next book I'm going to talk about, also from DC. Manny and I are constantly singing the praises of this book, and it's Mr. Miracle number 7 from Tom King and Mitch Gerrits. And it's basically, you know, we learned in the last issue that Barda was pregnant. Clearly, time has passed because she just told Scott that she was pregnant. And then Scott went into the throne room and found out that Orion was dead. So here we have the birth of their child. And it's a very poignant issue. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail with the moments that go on. We do learn, just based on the fact that multiple people are calling Scott Highfather, that apparently he has taken over as ruler of New Genesis with the death of his brother. But again, I don't want to give too much away. And, you know, as a father, being there for the birth of my child, yeah, I can definitely relate. Tom King has kids, so I'm sure he can relate. And Mitch Gerrits just recently, within the last year, joined the wonderful world of fatherhood. So I'm sure this is a very special issue for him. And again, it's Tom King experimenting with story. It's Mitch Gerrits telling the story in 9-panel grids with amazing storytelling going from panel to panel. And again, it just shows that these two together are at the top of their game. And I can't wait to see where the story goes from here. It's not at all what I expected from issue 7, based on the crazy ending to issue 6. For it to jump forward in time and yet be completely focused on family the way that it is. But it works. It works, and there's so much there. There's so much nuance to these characters. And it's one of the best titles on stands today. It's really that simple. So I hope you're all picking up Mr. Miracle. Number 7 comes out today. All right, next up, also from DC, we have Sideways number 2, written by Dan Didio and Justin Jordan, with art by Kenneth Rocafort, and the colors are by Daniel Brown. So, second issue of this New Age of Heroes title. The first issue ended on somewhat of a cliffhanger, and I don't I don't know that anybody's thrown around the Spider-Man term in reference to this book yet. I don't know if I'm just thinking it myself, and so that's what's making me think that it's been thrown around a little bit, or if it actually has been thrown around. But I love the feel that it has of those early Spider-Man books. You know, we're finding out that this character Sideways certainly doesn't have it all figured out with the way he uses his powers. He certainly doesn't have it all figured out with the way he's trying to navigate having these powers and hiding it from his mom and trying to be a hero in the age of, you know, social media and be popular, and he thinks it's cool, but there are consequences to his actions, but he's young, so he doesn't necessarily consider those consequences. And, you know, his relationship with his friend Aaron, and just it's just a lot of fun. It really shows the exuberance of youth and the inexperience of Derek Sideways, who is ready at the drop of a hat to engage other people even after he's injured escaping from the character that we met at the end of last issue, who's trying to prevent Derek from using his powers at all, because apparently every time Derek uses his powers, he's endangering reality. Not completely clear. We do get a hint in this book that clearly there's something going on when Eric kind of dimension hops and teleports from place to place. There are consequences. They don't appear to be good consequences. So this character, Tempest Fugonaut, is clearly trying to stop that. So again, it's the inexperience, but the enthusiasm of youth causing problems. And you definitely get that early Spider-Man feel of life kind of being bigger and more out of control for Derek than he realizes. But yet there's something in him that's very heroic, and he's ready to step in at the drop of the hat, even though he's injured, to fight against a character who kill speed. That's it. So we'll probably learn more about her in the next issue. And what can I say about Kenneth Rocafort art? His art is absolutely incredible. A lot of detail. Love the movement and the kinetic energy that he shows in the panels, as well as just his rendering and his panel layout on the page. It's really, really awesome. So definitely recommend checking out Sideways. Next up, we have Ghostbusters Crossing Over number 1 from IDW, written by Eric Burnham, art by Dan Schoening, and colors by Luis Antonio Delgado. So full disclosure, this is the first Ghostbusters comic I've ever read. Obviously, I've seen Ghostbusters the movie, like Ghostbusters the movie, was a kid when it came out, you know, kind of in my wheelhouse. But I'd never watched the Ghostbusters cartoon, never, you know, read a Ghostbusters comic before. So there was a barrier to entry, because what IDW does, which is really nice, is on the inside of the front cover, or maybe it's on the first page, they basically give a breakdown of all the different characters. So there's the four characters that I'm familiar with, you know, Peter and Ray and Egon and Winston. And then there's the support staff, which I was familiar with Janine. She was the secretary from the movie. But then there were some other characters I wasn't that familiar with. But again, what IDW has done here is they give a character rundown and a little brief blurb, so you kind of know who everybody is, who all the players are. And then it's a typical Ghostbusters story. It very much had that same feel and same tone of the movie. There's a underlying sense of menace, like there's some big disaster just waiting to happen. But over that, there's the goofy science and technology, the tools of the Ghostbusters, if you will, the guns and the traps and the containment unit and all that stuff, potentially causing problems for them. And so, I really enjoyed it. And I clearly, if you're a Ghostbusters fan, I think you'll enjoy it as well. And like I said, even though I've never read a Ghostbusters comic before, I feel like I you know, I picked up this issue. It's an issue number one. I feel like I could continue reading this Ghostbusters Crossing Over series and have no problem following along with what's going on. I really appreciated those character introductions on the first page. The art by Dan Schoening is interesting. It's not like full-on cartoon Looney Tune kind of art, but it's definitely stylized and leans toward that direction. And I think it works very well for this book. And the colors by Delgado, very much in the primary color scheme, but it works. And I will say when Ray discharges his weapon, it very much is evocative of the movie, where it's very bright, a lot of, not lens flare, but it really jumps off the page and looks very electric and special effects-y, if that's a word. So I did enjoy this. I do recommend it, especially if you're a Ghostbusters fan. It was a lot of fun. And again, you don't need a lot of backstory. Like I said, first Ghostbusters comic ever read. I had absolutely no problem following along. It was a heck of a lot of fun. All right, the last book I'm going to talk about in detail that is coming out today is the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe number 3. This is written by, the comic strip is by Elliot Rahal from a screenplay, I guess you'd say, by Aaron Schenke. The colors are by, or I should say the pencils are by Joe Bennett. The inks are by Bellardino Barabo, and the colors are by Ulysses Areola. So again, this is kind of a prequel to the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe web series that's going to be coming out in April. And I love this issue. I don't want to give away too much of what happens because there's a big climactic shift in the story that happens here. You know, Ninjak has been tasked with retrieving the Book of the Geomancer for Roku and the people she's working for. And he's being coerced into doing that because the wife of his best friend, Neville Alcott, has been kidnapped along with Neville's daughter, who happens to be Ninjak's goddaughter. And so he's been forced to not only work for Roku, but he can't tell anyone about it because he has these nanites implanted within him. And basically Roku sees everything Ninjak sees and hears everything Ninjak hears. So Ninjak's, he can't tell anybody why he's doing what he's doing. So we've seen him go up against all the heroes from the Valiant Universe, Bloodshot and Livewire, Eternal Warrior, Exo Man of War. And it's been a whole heck of a lot of fun. Like I said, there's a big turning point in this issue, and I really want to hand it to Elliot Rahal. The banter between Bloodshot and Eternal Warrior is a whole heck of a lot of fun. It's a laugh out loud funny. And Joe Bennett, Bellardino Bravo, and Ulysses Areola do a great job with the art. I can't wait for the last issue. This has been a series that's been a heck of a lot of fun. And again, much like the Ghostbusters series I was just talking about, you don't need to have any previous knowledge of the Valiant Universe. I think you can pick up this title, understand what's going on, and having it lead right into the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe web series is really awesome. Like I'm gonna read the next issue, and then I'm immediately gonna watch that series. So I hope that when the last issue comes out, that the series, like first episode of the series, comes out that same day. That would be perfect timing. So I hope that's the way that Valiant works it, because this was a heck of a lot of fun. Oh, and I should mention that Archer and Armstrong show up as well to do battle with Ninjak. So he really has fought just about every character in the Valiant Universe, because Shadow Man makes an appearance in this issue as well. So again, a fun story with witty dialogue and great art. Really couldn't ask for too much more. So that's going to do it for the books I'm going to talk about in depth. Just a few other titles I think you should be on the lookout for. We've got Jupiter Jet number 4 from Action Labs by Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson. That story has been a whole heck of a lot of fun, and I'm hoping to have Jason and or Ashley on soon to talk about it. We also have Betrothed number 1 by Sean Lewis and Steve Yu from Aftershock. And if you missed this last Monday's episode of our Aftershock Monday, Sean was nice enough to join me and talk about the series. So I encourage you to go listen to that if you want to know more about Betrothed. We've got Green Lantern Earth 1, Volume 1. I have been waiting for this book for so long. I was really hoping that I was going to get an advanced copy on Friday when I usually get my advanced copies from DC to read the books. It was not to be. So this book, I may read it in the parking lot at the comic store tomorrow morning. I really might. That's how much I've been looking forward to it. It's by Gabriel Hardman and Karina Bechko, and I'm sure I'll let you know probably on Friday's podcast, let's say, or perhaps Saturday, just what I thought of it, because I'm not going to be able to wait. I'm going to have to talk about it. Really, really looking forward to it. Also from DC, I want to mention Sheriff of Babylon Deluxe Hardcover by Tom King and Mitch Gerrits. So the same creative team that's doing such a great job on Mr. Miracle. Well, they did a title for Vertigo called Sheriff of Babylon about a soldier in Baghdad. And it was an incredible story. It kind of flew under the radar, but I very much recommend it, especially if you're digging on Mr. Miracle. One more DC book, Michael Kray, number 6 from Brian Hill and Roald Marcellus. It's set in that Wildstorm universe, the same universe as Warren Ellis's The Wildstorm, and it's really a darker look at the character of Deathblow or Michael Kray, who's on a little bit of a journey of self-discovery, I'll say. And, you know, Brian Edward Hill, Postal, Bonehead, you know, just love his work. So I'm definitely digging that. And in fact, the next book I'll mention is Bonehead number 3 from Top Cow by Brian Edward Hill and Roald Marcellus. I think on Michael Kray, I said Roald Marcellus was the artist on that, but it's actually N. Stephen Harris, who's the artist on Michael Kray. And Roald Marcellus is the artist on Bonehead 3. Sorry about that. Yeah, both really, really good books. Both good artists. Bonehead's got incredible art by Marcellus. It's very dynamic. You know, the hero, the protagonist of the book is into parkour. And that's, you know, a lot of movement and a lot of dynamic gymnastic type maneuvers. And being able to translate on the comic that to the comic page is no small feat. So kudos to Marcellus for that. Also, I mentioned Curse Words number 12 from Image Comics, Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. That continues to be a really fun book. Port of Earth number 1, volume 1, the trade paperback collecting issues 1-4 by Zach Kaplan and Adrian Moody. Incredible story. So much fun. And Zach's going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about the first volume of Port of Earth, so be sure and tune in for that. Also, Rose number 9 from Image, written by Meredith Finch and art by Ig Guerra, has been a lot of fun. Hoping to have Meredith on in the near future to talk about that book in more detail. Versus number 2 by Yvonne Brandon and Isad Ribic is out today. Also, the Avengers No Surrender weekly event continues in Avengers 684 from writers Mark Waid, Al Ewing, Jim Zub, with art by Joe Bennett and Paco Medina. New Mutants are getting a new number 1. It's New Mutants Dead Soul from Matthew Rosenberg and art by Adam Gorham. It's New Mutants exploring some creepy, horrific corner of the Marvel Universe. I'm not totally clear on what that's all about, but it's got some amazing Mark Brooks covers, if nothing else. Also, Star Wars Darth Vader number 12 continues to be a really, really strong title, written by Charles Soule with art by Giuseppe Camuncola. And finally, I'll mention Secret Weapons number 0, Owen Story, from writer Eric Heiser with art by Raoul Allen. Jesse from the Valiant Fans Forum was on the Valiant Sunday podcast with me this last week to talk about Secret Weapons 0, both Nikki Story and Owen Story. So I encourage you to go and check out that episode if you want to know more about that title. It was really good, and I love Eric Heiser's work with what he's doing on Secret Weapons. So again, a bit of a short episode today for New Comics Wednesday. Be sure and get out there to your new comic shops. Really recommend Port of Earth and probably Green Lantern Earth 1, probably the two books I'm most looking forward to. So let me know what you're picking up. either reach out to me on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource, or do a search for the Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram. Drop me notes on there when I announce this episode, or just reach out to me via email. thecomicsourceblog.com has a contact us link, which leads to our email, or you can just email thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening. Don't forget, Manny and I are going to be at WonderCon later this month with a really, really cool giveaway for everybody who tracks us down. And WonderCon is going to be Friday, March 23rd through Sunday, March 25th. So look forward to seeing a lot of you there. And as always, thanks for listening.